Brother David and his family, we got to know through our homeschool group. They homeschool their children, and as we did. And so we'd meet together as a group, and I got to know our brother David and Sister Gloria. I hope to get to know them better, and their children. Seven. Praise God. Perfect number. Perfect. Praise God. You know, when he was talking about the second coming of Jesus, we have to keep that in our hearts all the time. I immediately think of Enoch. Enoch. You know, we read about him in the book of Genesis. It says that he walked with God, that his life was pleasing to God. Enoch, somehow. He was a family man. It says that he had children, a wife. That can keep you busy, especially back then. No modern conveniences, I guess. But he walked with God. And it said that God was so pleased with him that he took him. Now, that's a mystery. How did that happen? Where did he go? Well, he went to be with the Lord, I'm sure. And he had this testimony that he pleased God. We read about him in the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter. We also read about him in the book of Jude, of all places. And what does it say about Enoch? It says that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. And what did he talk about? The second coming. The Lord's going to come back with his saints to execute vengeance upon the ungodly and so on. I thought, what's he talking about the second coming for when the first coming didn't take place yet? Well, in the Old Testament, I don't think they saw that distinction so clearly. Can't blame them. They knew God was coming to earth. They maybe didn't understand first he was coming as a babe born in Bethlehem and then would come again as judge. But I can't help but think that Enoch was able to live a life that was pleasing to God every day because he kept this before him. God is coming. I'm going to stand before him one day. And I want to be ready. I want to be clean. I want him to be able to be pleased with the life that I lived and the service that I rendered to him. And so the Bible says if we have this hope in us, we purify ourselves. So there's such a clear connection between keeping before us the fact that one day we will see him face to face and purifying ourselves day by day. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you haven't heard this story. I thought about it and I said, I've told this story so many times, but there's so many people in the world that haven't heard it, you know? And it has to do with our sister Elizabeth's father, Elizabeth Goronsky. She had a very precious father. And a man that loved Jesus with all his heart. And we were so blessed to get to know him. He used to come to our morning worship sometimes. The Lord opened ministry for him among the Hispanic people. And he was a real blessing. And he used to tell the story, if Elizabeth can tell me later if I got the details wrong. But down in Mexico, one of his relatives had passed away, I understand. And so he went down to attend the funeral, and he was picked up by one of his rich cousins. And this cousin had done very well for himself there in Mexico. I don't know if he was an architect or something. And he liked to talk about his accomplishments and sort of... You know, take out his wallet once in a while and show what was in it, I guess. So he invited the family out to eat, and as they were sitting around the table, he was talking about, you know, his money and how much he makes. I don't know specifically, but certainly giving the impression that he had done very well, and he was proud of that. And then he looked at Antonio, our sister's father, and he knew that he was a waiter in New York City and had a large family to take care of. He certainly wasn't living in a mansion, I'm sure of that. And so I don't know when he tells the story, you get a sense that there was this almost trying to embarrass him. I don't know. I don't want to put a bad light on the cousin any more than I have, forgive me. So Antonio, tell us what you're doing with your life. I made my millions. What's happening with you? Tell the family. Oh, yes. He spoke very gently. Always carried his New Testament with him. He stood up and he reached into his pocket. He took out his New Testament. And he read the portion where Jesus was baptized in water. And it says, when he came out of the water, the heavens opened. And the voice spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." He said, that's my golden life. That's what I'm doing with my life. I'm trying to live in such a way that one day God will be able to say of me, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he sat down. And then he said, it got really quiet. And that cousin must have known something of the gospel. And there must have been a time in his life when God was dealing with him about following the Lord. I just get that impression. And he said that cousin began to weep. He broke down in front of everyone. And he began to weep. And he said, "Antonio, you chose the best. You chose the best." Whether I got all the details right, that story goes right through you, doesn't it? That's the best. One day, he'll be able to say, "This is my beloved son, my daughter, and I'm so pleased with them." If you don't hear that, what good does your money do, your mansions do? Leave it all behind. Only what's done for Christ will last. That story has been a blessing to so many people because it rings so true in our hearts. It's so in keeping with the emphasis of Scripture. There's only one thing that matters. There's a lot of things that call for our attention and our time and our energy in this life, but there's really only one thing that matters, and it's that we live in such a way that he will be able to say of us, "This is my child in whom I'm well pleased." And when you consider when God said that about Jesus, he said it, I'm sure this was deliberate. God said it before Jesus ever preached a sermon, before he ever performed a miracle. He just lived an ordinary life, like you and I do. He mixed with people. He went to school. He worked in the carpenter shop. And God said of him, "I'm well pleased with him." You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to preach sermons. You don't have to do great things. You don't have to go across the ocean. You just have to learn to please Jesus in everything you do. When you wash the dishes, when you do the laundry, when you pick up the kids from school, when you drive as though you think you're a taxi service. Now, when you're in traffic, go down the list, right? We have to learn to please Jesus in all of these things. In our relationships with one another, we learn to forgive and to love as Jesus would. And the Lord may open ministry for you and places power upon you and on an unusual way and make you a blessing. But it doesn't depend on that at all. It's our daily life. And if we live with this thought in mind, one day I will stand before him. And you know, there's two ways of looking at that. We can say, well, he's a holy God, and it's a fearful thing to stand before a holy God, and I want to be sure that there's nothing in me that he would be displeased with. I don't want punishment. I'm frightened. Well, you can view it that way. But as we heard about the love of God, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. And that verse in John is speaking about the day of judgment when we stand before the Lord. We won't have to fear if we've given ourselves to him. The sin question will be settled. But when we see Jesus face to face, and when we see what he has provided for us, oh,
want to give him something. If ever we would want to give back to God, it would be then. What can we give him but the lives that we've lived here on earth? Our devotion, our obedience, our living for his glory. And if we don't have that to take up with us, oh, they talk about tears in heaven. That's what we'll be crying about. I could have given him so much more of my life. And now that opportunity's passed. Oh, yes, I'll serve him throughout eternity, and there'll be great joys before me. But there'll be a moment, I believe, when we look back at our lives and we see Jesus face to face. We see the print of the nails in his hands and feet. Our faith will become sight. And we'll say, oh God, could I have done better? Could I have done more for you? Praise God. And then he'll embrace us and love us throughout eternity. So that's what we should live for. We need to do that today. Start, if you haven't. You know, there are stories in the Bible where people started later in life, but they got their penny just like everybody else. It's not when you start, but it's how much you put into it. And by God's grace, let's put everything into it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Let's bless his holy name. Okay, well, we're not reading Romans this morning. That's okay. I'm not going to get through the whole book of Romans anyway. I hope I get at least to the next chapter. But I would like to get to Romans chapter 4 next time we read. Okay, so if you want to look that over, maybe tonight we can use the night meetings as well to look into God's Word in Romans. Let's sing a lovely song from our white books yet in closing. And that's His Love Has No Limit, His Grace Has No Measure. That's number 68 in our white book. Praise God. And let me say before we sing that today is Wednesday, in case you didn't know that. You know, you get away from home and you don't know what day it is. I think it's Sunday every day here. It seems like it, right? And on Wednesdays, after our service comes to a close, we welcome people that would like to continue to wait on God together until about 12 o'clock before lunch, until that bell rings and you start salivating, right? And so when the meeting's over, you know, those that would like to stay, please do. Those that have responsibilities or children, they need to get outside, please do that also, so that we can have this time of prayer together, okay? Let's stand and sing number 68. wanted to just mention, I haven't done that yet, but I hope people understand that Lily and I are here to serve you. And if you ever want to get to us to talk with us, if there's something we can pray about with you, young people, older ones, feel free. We'll drop everything to spend some time with you. I don't have all the answers. I have one answer. His name is Jesus. And if I can help to bring you to him and bring your need to him, we're happy to do that. So, feel free. Okay. I know I'm very stern and unapproachable, but try to get past that. Hallelujah. I was going to ask Tim Hoffogel to pray. He's gone. Unbelievable. Okay. So, George Goronsky. Not that you're second choice, brother. There you go. Please.
Father, we thank you and praise you for your presence, for your salvation, for your grace, your mercy that endures forever. We thank you, Lord, that you are the answer to all our questions, our problems, our difficulties. And thank you, Lord, that you give us your presence, your life, your victory. Thank you, O Lord. Help us to please you today, to walk in your ways, to love you with our whole heart. Keep us under your precious blood, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.